TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Welcome to Raised by Wolves. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill. 2 weeks until training camp. This is the 2 weeks out of training camp episode of Raised by Wolves.
Cannot wait. I am chomping at the bit. There's so much to just be excited about with the NBA. I mean, we've been talking about it all summer, but I mean, with just all the player movement that we saw, the trades and everything, as we get closer and closer, man, I'm just wanting it more and more. It's gonna be exciting.
We are getting really close to fake basketball.
Yeah,
really close to fake basketball. That's where we're at right now. We're really close,
very close. At least you know what I mean, preseason basketball is not great, but it's not great.
Manny, it's like unwatchable.
No, I know.
I don't watch a ton of hockey.
I would take it over preseason football, though.
It's close.
Preseason football is really bad.
It's bad. Yeah.
I would take preseason basketball over preseason football.
I don't know.
Football.
Neither of them are a good product. I don't know. I think it's really bad. I am not. Let me say this, and I will watch all of the Wolves preseason games that are available, and Fox Sports North came out with their television schedule today. All 82 games are going to be on TV for the Wolves, whether it's regionally or nationally. Two of the preseason games, including the home game and then the game at Milwaukee, will be on FSN. So I will watch them, but I'm not going to enjoy it. Let me just leave it there. I'm not going to enjoy it. Preseason basketball, not my favorite thing. But what I want to get into today is Sports Illustrated came out with their top 100 NBA players. And this is something that I've been wanting to write. Not the top 100 players, but basically I want to dive into how good is Karl-Anthony Towns? Where is Karl among the NBA's elite? Because he certainly is among the NBA's elite. There's no question about that. He is one of the better players in the NBA. Just where does he rank upon that? Where does he rank in the West among big men? Just all of those variables. But Sports Illustrated came out with their top 100 as a whole. And there are four Wolves that made the top 100, including number 100. Andrew Wiggins was named the 100th best basketball player in the world by Sports Illustrated. And I want to focus this podcast on Karl because I think that's what's interesting. That's where the hope for this franchise is. He's the one that deserves to be talked about. But we would also be remiss if we didn't mention Andrew at number 100. I believe Jeff Teague was 81st. Robert Covington was 64th, which both guys very deserving to be in the top 100, in my opinion.
Yep.
But the Andrew Wiggins thing is interesting to me because here's what Sports Illustrated wrote in his little blurb. Everyone gets like a paragraph or two or whatever to sum up why they're at where they're at. Because why would you listen without an explanation? So here's what SI says. Andrew Wiggins scores, but to what end? One of the great sins of the box score is the way it conflates points with value. Scoring is an obvious, irrefutable good, yet what goes unsaid in every scoring total is that the shots that made it possible could have gone to better use. This has always been part of the problem with Wiggins, who can get you 18 points per game, but so often settles on his way there. Last season, there were 48 players in the NBA that averaged 18 points or more. 47 of them were more efficient than Andrew Wiggins. I don't know who was less efficient. I have an idea of it, but I'm not positive.
Who do you think it might be?
Either Russell Westbrook or Dwayne Wade. Those would be my guesses. I haven't looked into this, and I'm sure I can find it.
Did D-Wade average 18 a game?
He had to be close. He was not very efficient.
It was a bad year.
Yes.
I would just wonder if he actually averaged 18 a game. He probably did. I mean,
No. Andrew Wiggins was last. Never mind.
Okay, so
he was last. That makes sense.
Okay, yeah. 48 players, yeah. 47 of them.
Russell Westbrook was 47th though. Russ Westbrook was 47th, so I wasn't off there.
Okay, so all right, so
and we'll get to Russ later.
Okay, perfect.
We'll get to Russ later.
Okay, perfect.
Because that's. We'll get to Russ in a minute.
Yeah. Because that was going to be my question, but okay.
If a player is going to rebound as infrequently, make plays as unevenly, and defend as inconsistently as Wiggins, they should be a better scorer than he is. The only thing keeping him in the top 100 mix is the possibility for change. Even after five NBA seasons, Wiggins is just 24 years old. An upturn combined with a more mindful approach could give his career the reboot it so badly needs. It sounds like Sports Illustrated is holding out a little bit more hope than we are for Andrew.
See, that's what I was going to wonder if they are ranking him in the top 100, of course, number 100, because of what they think he will do in 2019, 2020. Because I can tell you right now, and I'm sure you'll agree with me 100%, Andrew Wiggins was not the 100th best player in basketball last year.
No. Do I think Andrew Wiggins is one of the 100 most talented basketball players?
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Without question. He's probably higher than 100. Like, Terrence Ross is 99th. I think Andrew is a more talented basketball player than Terrence Ross.
Yes, 100%.
Is he a better basketball player than Terrence Ross right now? No.
No.
He's not.
He's not.
He's more talented, but he's not better. I don't have an issue with him at number 100. If anything, I think it's a little high, like you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think, and listen, I'm not going to try and name 100 basketball players that are better than Andrew Wiggins because no one wants to listen to that. I don't want to do that. That's a waste of everyone's time. But if Andrew Wiggins would have been left out, I would have been understanding.
Yeah,
it would have
made sense. I would not have been surprised.
I would not have been like, you know who really got snubbed here? Andrew Wiggins. Those words would not have come out of my mouth.
Yeah, no, I think he is on this list with the thought that he will be the 100th best player in the NBA this year, and maybe a little bit better, because I cannot look at what he did last year and say, yep, he's the 100th best player in the league.
No,
I just can't.
Neither can I.
So I think this is him being on this list, and again, we're not talking about him being in the top 40 or anything here, but I think him making this list is the thought that SI is projecting him to somehow improve and turn himself into one of the 100 best players on the planet.
Yeah. All right, so now let's get into the conversation about Karl-Anthony Towns. He's listed at 13th on the top 100, which I think is a relatively fair ranking. I would have him somewhere between 15 and 10, I think. I don't know where, but I would have him in that area. The two guys that are directly ahead of him, I don't necessarily agree with, though. One of which was already mentioned in Russell Westbrook. He's listed at number 12. We just talked about the fact that he was the second least efficient player in the NBA last year, only ahead of Andrew Wiggins.
I don't see it.
I mean, I understand it because he does everything, but he's also incredibly frustrating.
Is this because of name, though, more than anything?
He still passes the ball well. I think he does hunt for assists and he hunts for rebounds. There's no question about that. He does do his very best to pad stats. You're not going to get an argument from anyone there. If you watch Russell Westbrook, you know that.
Yep.
But I don't know that gets you to the number 12 player in basketball, especially if you're doing this forecast. This is the top 100 NBA players of 2020.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is not going to be getting better. He's just not.
No, he's 30, he is, what, 31?
Yeah, and his game is predicated so much on athleticism,
yep,
where he's not going to age well. Like Steph Curry, even though he's dealt with tons of injuries, and I know that Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook is not the same conversation, but because of their style of play, Steph Curry's going to age fine. His prime's going to last so much longer because while, yes, a lot of it is based on how quick he is, he's able to get open, at the end of the day, Steph Curry's always going to be able to shoot.
Mm-hmm. And he's Russell the greatest Westbrook, shooter of all time.
Yes. Russell Westbrook is always not going to be able to shoot because that's who he is.
And never has been able to shoot.
Unless something drastically changes, he's not going to get any better. In fact, he's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse every year. He's not the same guy he was when he won the MVP. He's not the same guy he was in 2014.
With him, too, and I wonder just how this is going to work in Houston, too, in D'Antoni's offense. With what Mike D'Antoni likes to do offensively, I wonder. Now, Russ is, he's an upgrade over Chris Paul because Chris Paul is just, Chris Paul's a 34-year-old that just can't, I mean, he can barely move anymore at this stage of his
career. He's an upgrade if he stays healthy.
Russ? Yes. Yes. But I just don't know if him fitting into D'Antoni's system screams 12th best player on the planet to me.
I don't think it does. I really don't.
It just doesn't.
I would have Carl ahead of him. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some guys behind Carl that I think it's a conversation. Like, I think Kyrie Irving is a conversation to be above Carl. Now, I think Carl has more natural talent than Kyrie Irving, but I think Kyrie Irving's the best ball handler I've ever seen, one of the most clutch players I've ever seen, and he is the guy in the NBA who, if I have the last shot in a game, I want the ball in his hands. He is the guy that I want that.
Yeah, I would
at the very least think long and hard about putting him ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns. I understand that there are things in the locker room that might not go well. I understand firsthand that he's a little bit of a different character. But I also understand those other basketball things. Draymond Green's another one. While he doesn't do everything flashy, he's certainly not as talented. He's at number 17 on Sports Illustrated list. He's not the 17th most talented player in the NBA. It's not close. Like, right. He's not that talented. But what he does for on the court and for that team, I think you have to think about putting him up there. But I do think that Carl at 12 or at 13 is fair. I just wouldn't have Russell Westbrook ahead of him. I also don't think I would have Jimmy Butler ahead of him either. Jimmy Butler comes in at number 11. Yeah. That's one I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, I just don't. And Jimmy's another one of those guys, too. I think Jimmy's better than Russell Westbrook. But
yes, I agree.
But Jimmy's another one of those guys, too, that as he gets up there in age, he has a history of injuries. How well is Jimmy's game going to age? Jimmy is kind of a mid-range guy. He can get to the basket once in a while, too.
Takes a lot of tough shots,
but
man.
He takes a lot of difficult shots. He has to work really hard to get a lot of the shots that he gets. And I don't know how that is going to age well. Jimmy's 30 years old now, too. I think he turns 30 this month, if I'm not mistaken, September.
I'm unsure of his birthday.
Yeah, but he's hitting 30 years old now, and I would not put him ahead of Karl Anthony Towns right now.
No. I also do. The one thing I really think is fair is that they have Carl as the fourth best big man in the NBA. He's behind Anthony Davis, who we forget how good he is because of last year, where he barely played. He was injured. The whole trade thing, him becoming a heel in the NBA, all that kind of clouds our judgment of him. I think he's going to have a terrific season. He's at number six.
Yep.
Number seven is Joel Embiid, who absolutely has stolen Carl's lunch almost every single time they've met on the court. I have no problem with that. I think he's the second best. He's as close to Anthony Davis as there is for a big man. Like, he is really good. He changes the game on the defensive side of the floor. He's the best low post scorer outside of Carl. I think he belongs ahead of Carl.
Yep.
Nikola Jokic is at number eight, and I think that this should be closer than a five spot difference.
I agree.
Now, I think Jokic is probably a marginally better player than Carl, but I don't know that it's five spots better than Carl. That part I don't know that I agree with. I think Nikola Jokic is really, really good. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to continue to get better. I might take Carl over him, though. If I have to pick who do I want to build my team around, I might pick Carl instead of Nikola Jokic. Where I would probably pick Joel Embiid would concern me because of injuries, but that's a different conversation that's not taken into account here. Yep. I would take Anthony Davis over Carl. I would probably take Embiid over Carl. I think I would take Carl over Jokic, though.
Yeah, I feel like Jokic and Kat is really, really neck and neck.
Well, and they're always going to be tied at the hip because they were the same draft class. Mm-hmm. And the rookie of the year debate from their rookie season is always going to be something that happened. So I get why they're going to be tied at the hip there. It's going to be something that's considered neck and neck or whatever you want to call it. So I understand that.
Yeah, I just don't know if – I guess my question for you is it more egregious to have Jokic at 8 or Kat at 13?
I think Jokic belongs closer to 13 than Carl does to 8.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because, like, Paul George is number 9. I would put Paul George above Jokic. Like, Paul George was going to finish. He was in the MVP discussion before he blew out his shoulders last year. Yep. Like, he finished third in the MVP still, but he was going to get first place votes had he not just, his season was derailed by injuries and he finished 9th. Damian Lillard's number 10. I don't think Carl's better than him. I would rather Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Number 11 and 12, we already talked about Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook, but I think that it should be, I think Jokic and Carl should probably be 10 and 11 or 11 and 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I wonder if part of this too just has to do with, like, it's easier to put Jokic as, like, number 8 because his team was in the playoffs and they got to the second round. They were a game away from going to the conference finals. Where it's like, I feel like if the Wolves had found themselves into the playoffs last year and maybe made a little bit of noise, then Carl would be higher up on the list.
And you know
or maybe
what?
Him and Jokic would be closer together.
I can respect that.
Sure.
But also, Russell Westbrook hasn't won a first-round series since Kevin Durant left.
Right.
So if you want to do that,
right.
Fine, I get it,
yeah.
But you have to do it in other areas too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and let's be honest, not only has Russell Westbrook not won a playoff series since KD left, I mean, he has not played particularly well in the postseason
no.
either since KD left.
No, he's not.
So, I mean, that And that's where I wonder in the case of Russ, that goes back to my question of is it just more because Russ is just still, even though he's not what he was 4 or 5 years ago, he's still one of the biggest names in the game. And so naturally it just sort of almost on impulse, they just rank him number 12.
Yeah. Now, the question that's most fascinating to me when we have this discussion is, how high can Carl get on this list? Mm-hmm. Because right now he's at 13, which I think is relatively fair. He belongs on the low end at 15, on the high end at 10. Like, that is his range right now, and that is entirely fair.
I'd have him at 11 ahead of Jimmy and Russ, but yeah, sure.
But like, in that range, yep. Somewhere, like, if you have him 15, you have him 10, you have him in between, it's kind of nitpicky to move it. And that's yep. exactly what we're being right now. And that's fine because we're a podcast and that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. This is content, folks. He turns 24 in November. How high can he get on this list? Because Damian Lillard is really, really good, but he's not going to be up there forever.
Yep.
Paul George probably going to stay up there for a long time. Jokic and Carl, we already talked about, tied to the hip. Embiid, really, really good, also young. Anthony Davis, also relatively young, younger. He's 27, I think, at number 6. James Harden's in his 30s. He's at 5. He's not going to be up there forever.
Right.
Steph Curry, he's at 4.
Steph
he's
will
getting
turn
older.
32 this season.
Yeah, he's getting older, too. Yeah. LeBron at number 3. LeBron's not going to be up there forever. He's turning 35.
Yeah.
My biggest gripe is Kawhi Leonard's at number 2. I think Kawhi should be number 1.
I agree.
I think Kawhi proved in the playoffs that he's the best player in the world right now.
Yep.
And Giannis is number 1. I think he should be number 2. And that's my biggest. I think that is an error right there. But yep. How high can Carl get on this list? What is his ceiling? Yeah. Because I don't think Carl has what it takes. In considering the rest of this list, I don't think Carl Anthony Towns will ever be the best player in the world. And that's okay.
Yep, that's
there
fine.
Have only been X number of best players in the world. They are generational talents. And that's not to say Carl is not that, because Carl is a talent that we probably have never seen this type before. But I don't think he'll ever be considered the best basketball player in the world. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to look at this and say, okay, how many of these guys... Well, first, I think you have to look at, okay, Cat, 24 years old in November. How many more years of ascension does he have?
Mm-hmm.
And combine that with how many of these guys that are ahead of him figure to, in that same amount of time, fall off and allowing him to surpass them.
Yeah.
And like, so if Cat's going to keep getting better until he's, let's say, 28.
I would say 29, maybe 30.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Over the next 5-6 years, how much is he going to grow over the next 5 or 6 years?
Correct.
And then how many of these guys in front of him are going to start to fall off over that same period of time?
Yes. Like, I think James Harden will fall off over that period of time. I think Steph Curry won't fall off a cliff, but won't be a top 10 player.
Yep.
I think LeBron James will probably be retired.
Yep.
By the time Carl is 30, I mean, maybe not. Who knows? He's LeBron.
Probably the greatest player ever.
Yeah. I don't know. He's the guy that broke 538. Like, it is what it is. Giannis is going to stay there. Kawhi is going to stay there for a while. Paul mm-hmm. George is going to stay there for a while. Is Carl's ceiling like 7th? Is it 8th? Is it 10th? What's his ceiling?
Because,
like,
Anthony Davis ain't going anywhere. Joel Embiid, if he stays healthy, ain't going anywhere.
Jokic ain't going anywhere. Paul George. I could see Damian Lillard falling off as he gets older because he's a smaller guard, and that's just not going to... I mean, he's still going to be a terrific shooter, but he's not going to be this forever.
So do you think PG's game will age well with him? Because he's going to be... I think he... Does he turn... When does he turn 30?
That I'm unsure of.
I think he turns 30 next year, Paul George.
So I do think his game will age relatively well. And mm-hmm. he'll turn 30 in May. You're right.
Okay.
He's a really good shooter, though.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily concerned about his age because he's someone that he shoots 38% from 3 for his career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about if his shoulder issues persist. Like, right. if he can't do everything he's been able to do, he's going to fall off. That being said, he's already come back from a gruesome leg injury. Mm-hmm. If he can come back from this, he's going to stick around for a while. Now,
and he was so good before the shoulder messed up on him.
Yeah, he was going. That's why I think he should be higher than the spot he's in.
Yeah,
at number nine,
and sharing the floor with Kawhi this year too is going to allow him to. It's going to take a lot of pressure off of him and allow him to really thrive too.
I think that he's someone that. But by time Carl is 29, in 5 years, Paul George will be 34, 35, probably not in the top 10.
Yeah.
So that's a spot. I think he can. I think his ceiling is probably 6 or 7.
Okay. That's not bad.
No. What? How high do you think he can climb?
I think if things go his way, I think he can get to about 5.
Okay.
I think he can get to 5 if things go his way.
And what players do you think will be ahead of him when he does reach that ceiling? When he reaches the apex of his basketball career, what 4 players in the NBA are better than him?
AD.
Okay.
Joel Embiid, provided he stays healthy. Kawhi. Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have Giannis in there. I don't necessarily disagree with that list.
Yeah. I mean,
it's hard to disagree with that list.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, it's like Paul George is going to be at that age where he's going to be good, like you said, for a while, but he's going to be at that age by the time Carl probably reaches his prime and his peak. PG is going to be at that age where, okay, 34, 35, he's still going to be really good, but he's not going to be, like you said, he's not going to be a top 10 guy. LeBron will probably be done. I mean, James Harden ain't going to be. I don't think James Harden will be in that conversation at that point. So, I mean, Steph will be, what, 36, 37?
I don't think he'll be a top 5 player.
No.
It's not fair to expect him to be. Yeah. It's not fair to expect anyone at that age to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think if things go right for Carl, if he stays healthy, and I think putting a good team around him, building a good team around him over the next handful of years will allow him to maximize his skills and get as good a player as he possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
I think at best he can get to about 5, top 5.
But here's the thing that I don't think that either of us have considered out loud on this podcast yet.
Mm-hmm.
What about someone else passing him? Like Luka Doncic is at 30 heading into his second season.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell's at 29 heading into his third season.
Yeah.
Those guys can take a jump and potentially become top 5 players. Zion Williamson's not on the list because he hasn't played in the NBA. But what if he lives up to expectations? What if those things happen? What if De'Aaron Fox blossoms?
Yeah.
That's the question, is who of the guys that are currently way below him because they're younger and they haven't done everything, it's easy to put him in the top 5 when you list off the names that you listed. And you're right. I think if you list off those names, he's a top 5 player. But I also think that you have to consider the guys behind him.
What if KP stays healthy?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I would still...
Because Porzingis was pretty good before Porzingis he started getting
was
hurt.
Really good. I still think Carl's ceiling is a little bit better than his.
Sure.
But Porzingis is really, really good, too. I think that...
another easy guy to forget about because
he didn't play.
He didn't play last year. Yeah. That's a good point. And if... The thing of it is if Zion Williamson ends up living up to the hype, being as good as a lot of people think he can be, I mean, that's potentially a top 5 player. At his peak.
Trae Young. If Trae Young lives up to what people think Trae Young can potentially be, he could be a guy that's a top 10 player at one point. I'm not saying he's ever going to be better than Carl, but he could be.
Yeah. It's an interesting situation for Cat to sort of find himself in or to be in. And I wonder if a lot of this is going to depend on how well Gerson Rosas can surround him and you know, put a good enough team around him to get him into the postseason, allow his skills to blossom even more. Because a lot of these guys, I mean, Giannis is terrific, but what helps Giannis be such a great player is because he's got good players around him, too.
Yeah, I mean
Chris Middleton's a good player.
Chris Middleton was in the 20s in Sports Illustrated ranks. And
that helps Giannis be the MVP of the league like he was last year.
I know the game is entirely different, but if you watch the FIBA World Cup, when Giannis wasn't surrounded by talent, and the rules are different, there's mm-hmm. no defensive 3 seconds, so it does become easier to guard Giannis, and you can play traditional zone defenses, and he didn't have shooters around him on Team Greece. But he wasn't very good. He did not fit that game. If they didn't have talent, it wouldn't necessarily look like that in the NBA, but he wouldn't look as good as he does now either.
Yeah, and so that, I mean, we're probably looking at the next couple of years, can the Wolves find another player that can maybe put themselves into like maybe like the top 30?
They're going to have to if they want to be competitive. They want to be competitive. That is a necessary thing.
But also to allow Cat to maybe get himself to being like the fifth best guy in the NBA.
Yeah.
They may need to have, they need to find somebody in the top 30. A guy that turns himself into a top 30 player. Can Jared Culver be that guy?
Could be.
Could be. Would be really important for him to be. It would help.
It is very interesting to me. Robert Covington came in at 64th, and I'm curious if that actually might be a little low for him. I think that there's a world out there where Robert Covington is better than the 64th best basketball player. Not because he's that talented. He is talented. Don't get me wrong. When I say this, I'm not trying to be like, oh, he doesn't have talent. Mm-hmm. I'm saying he gets the most out of what he has. Yeah. More so than a lot of guys, I think. And he's another guy that you mentioned this with Porzingis. We forget about him because mm-hmm. he didn't play.
Yep.
He has not played in the year 2019. He has not played professional basketball. And I'm curious, I think he's probably a top 50 player in the basketball world right now. Yeah. 64 seems a little low. It's just him staying healthy is half the battle.
Danny, we were talking, again, I keep bringing this up, but we were talking about him being a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
He was.
Before he got hurt.
He was. I read an article, I believe it was from Matt Moore on the Action Network, mm-hmm. where they were kind of handicapping like good plays or who they thought was the leader in the clubhouse right now for the various awards. And at the time, oddly enough, Derrick Rose was leading the Sixth Man of the Year award race because he was doing really well and had not gotten hurt yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Covington was their Defensive Player of the Year through mid-December. And you know what? There was no argument about it.
Yeah.
He was the best, and then he stopped playing.
Yeah, and he's another one of those guys, too, that his game can age pretty well.
Yes.
If he stays healthy, his game can age pretty well. He's not a guy that he's not a high usage guy. He doesn't need to try and create his own shot. He doesn't need to work to get his own shot. He's a shooter and he's a really good defender, obviously. He's an elite level defender, and that can carry on into your early to mid 30s.
Yeah.
If you stay healthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, and I think that could him being back and being healthy too, and we know about the close relationship that him and Cat have and everything too. I mean, that could help Cat too.
Yeah.
Potentially move up.
Yeah,
on this
it could.
List.
Yeah. It could. That's something interesting, but just wanted to talk about that. Thought that was a fun little discussion. And honestly, congrats to Giannis. I disagree with him being number one. I think it should be Kawhi.
I agree.
But in the first time that Sports Illustrated had put this list out, it's the sixth year they've done this. This is the first time LeBron's not number one. I also think there's a chance LeBron's number one again next year.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
And you know, it's kind of funny because, I mean, LeBron played last year, but
LeBron didn't play last year.
Yeah.
Like, but LeBron played, but
he played, yeah. No, I know what you're saying. But it's another one of those situations, though, too, like we talked about with, like, Porzingis, where LeBron kind of got forgotten about a little bit
mm-hmm.
in terms of best player in the world conversation because he didn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, you're right. And I think that this is the most rest he's ever had in mm-hmm. his life. And I think that this LeBron year for someone that turns 35 in December is going to be special.
And he's got another top 10 player as a teammate.
I would not be surprised if LeBron James is in consideration to win another MVP award. Wouldn't stun me.
And you know, when that guy, when he needs just a little bit of something to motivate mm-hmm. him, you know, he doesn't disappoint.
Nope, he does not. He certainly does not. But training camp, 2 weeks from today. Media day, 2 weeks from yesterday. Fake basketball almost here. 35 days until the NBA season begins.
That's what we're really waiting for.
That's what we're waiting for. Yes, you're 100% right. This has been Raised by Wolves. That's Manny Hill's thunderous voice. I'm Danny Cunningham. You can find us on ScoreNorth.com, the all-new ScoreNorth mobile app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your listening material. We are there. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review, give us 5 stars, all that good stuff. Follow us on Twitter. Manny's at MannyHill84. I'm at RealDCunningham. We will talk to you later.